Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we have quite a set of readings here, and both readings are long, so listen up, because I am going to go pretty fast through this. Although, when I say I'm going to go fast, I don't want to miss anything that God wants me to say and you to hear. So, hang on to your seat. Here we go. The first reading is taken from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34, verses 1 to 11. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. In these words, prophesy to them. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the shepherds of Israel, who have been pasturing themselves. Should not shepherds rather pasture sheep? You have fed off their milk, worn their wool, slaughtered the fatlings, but the sheep you have not pastured. You did not strengthen the weak, nor heal the sick, nor bind up the injured. You did not bring back the strayed, nor seek the lost, but you lorded it over them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered for lack of a shepherd and became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered and wandered over all the mountains and high hills. My sheep were scattered over the whole earth with no one to look after them or to search for them. Therefore, shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, because my sheep have been given over to pillage, and because my sheep have become food for every wild beast for lack of a shepherd, because my shepherds did not look after my sheep, but pastured themselves and did not pasture my sheep, because of this, shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, I swear I am coming against these shepherds. I will claim my sheep from them and put a stop to their shepherding my sheep, so that they may no longer pasture themselves. I will save my sheep, that they may no longer be food for their mouths. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will look after and tend my sheep. The Lord is speaking, yes, in particular, to all the leaders of the church, priests, bishops, popes. He's speaking to all shepherds of the sheep. But I also want to encourage us to take a look. Am I responsible for any area, whether it be secular or whether it be religious? If I am Catholic, if I am a Christian, then I have an obligation personally to seek the good of those for whom I care, to seek the good of those for whom I am in authority. Yes, this applies particularly to those who are leading Christian people, leading Catholic people in the life of the church, yes. But there is a secondary meaning for all those in authority, because you and I have to render an account one day before God, and he will say to us, did you in your leadership role care for my sheep? Or were you seeking prestige, seeking honor, seeking privilege? Were you instead feeding yourself and not feeding my sheep, not caring for my sheep? This is a very, very strong prophetic warning to each and every one of us. This is a time where so often we separate, well, when I'm in church, I act this way, or when I'm at a religious event, I act this way. But when I'm in the world, when I have my responsibilities and my business, or whatever the case may be, we separate them. But if I am truly a Christian, truly a disciple of Jesus Christ, then everything I do is called to reflect that. I may express it differently, but everything I do is called to reflect what God has asked me to be as a leader of his people in whatever form it takes. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, then this passage from the prophet Ezekiel applies to you. in whatever role, authority you may have. I urge you, all leaders of God's people, whatever that title may be, whatever the sphere of influence may be, I ask you to take a strong look at this passage and say, am I really caring for those God has given me, put in my charge, over whom I exercise some authority? Am I pasturing the sheep, or am I feeding myself? What am I doing? Why do I do what I do? Because Jesus himself says, because my sheep have been given over to pillage, and because my sheep have become food for every wild beast for lack of a shepherd, because my shepherds did not look after my sheep, but pastured themselves and did not pasture myself. Because of this, shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. I am coming against them. I'm coming against these shepherds. I will claim my sheep from them and put a stop to their shepherding my sheep, so that they may no longer pasture themselves. I will save my sheep. I will look after, I will tend my sheep. It's a very strong word, brothers and sisters. Take heed. Take heed. Psalm 23, we know so well, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. If we are people who find ourselves under the wrong kind of authority, cry out to the Lord. Say, Lord, you shepherd me. Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. Lord, show me the way to go. Help me. Sustain me. If we're in a situation that we have no power to change, turn to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to show you the way, because he will lead his sheep always. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 to 16, Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, you too go into my vineyard. I will give you what is just. So they went off. And he went out again around noon and around 3 and did likewise. Going out around 5 o'clock, he found others standing around and said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? And they answered, because no one has hired us. And he said to them, you too go into my vineyard. When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first. When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who bore the day's burden and the heat. He said to one of them in reply, my friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? Brothers and sisters, there are those of us who have served the Lord for many years, and we've been faithful to him by his grace, by his blessing. We've been faithful to him. So when I stand before God, am I going to look at the one who made a conversion on his deathbed and say, what do you mean? Are you taking him into heaven just like me? I labored a lot longer than that person did. Are you giving them the same as you're giving me? In a certain sense, it's true. In a certain sense, we can all, if we have repented, we can all enter into heaven. In that sense, all of us enjoy eternal life with God, even if we came to the Lord at the last moment. However, it's also true that those who have served him from the beginning have drawn closer to him, have a deeper intimacy with him. But the point being made here is that God is so generous. Are we as generous in our way of thinking? Are we as generous as God is in the way we categorize people? And we know we categorize people. Are we looking at people as God does or as human beings do? We're so quick to judge. We're so quick, aren't we, to condemn. We're so quick to alienate. We're so quick to separate and to always put ourselves in the better position. And the Lord is being very clear here that God's justice isn't always like man's justice by a long shot. God is very just. God knows the intentions of the heart. God knows how we're thinking. God knows what our motivation is. God sees the whole picture, brothers and sisters. We don't. We don't. Think of how quick you are to condemn somebody else when you see them do something or you hear them say something. How quick we are to judge, how quick to criticize, how quick to condemn. Only God sees the whole picture. You and I, certainly, we can judge a particular action. We can see the fruit that that particular action produced. We can make a certain level of judgment on those things, yes. But we cannot ever judge one's eternal salvation. We cannot. God is the one who sees clearly. I've often wondered to myself, what's it going to be like if, in God's gracious mercy, I come to see him face to face? Am I going to be surprised at some of the people who are there in heaven? I probably am. My judgment is very finite. So be careful. Be careful in your judgment. You don't ever have all the facts. You have to make, we do in this world, we have to make certain judgments to the best of our ability. But from an eternal perspective, we don't see the whole picture. Only God does. So I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to ask God, give me an eternal perspective. Help me. In other words, help me to see this life and all those I relate to in light of eternity. Give me an eternal perspective. Help me to see beyond the here and now, to beyond what my five senses communicate to me. Help me to see with your eyes, that I may judge in my circumstances or in my leadership or whatever I'm doing, that I may judge rightly according to your will. Because we're so limited. Ask for the Holy Spirit to help. Ask for God to show us the way, that we may, in our sphere, judge justly. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.